Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you, and you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." So welcome back to the Screwtape Letters podcast, confronting evil in our time. There is victory in Jesus Christ. So here we are in part three of our Christmas story. And the coming of Christ is an amazing story to read through the Bible. A lot of people may know it briefly, may know some of the things I've seen at Christmas plays, but we just wanted to go deeper, and I wanted to dive in and tell you more about the whole story. So here we are in episode three, which is the journey, Bethlehem and the birth of Jesus. In episode one, we covered longing for a savior and the Old Testament prophecies. And in episode two, two mothers, the story of one miracle, Elizabeth and Mary. So here we are, episode three, Bethlehem and the birth of Jesus. So as you know, Joseph just woke from his sleep, and he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. That's from Matthew 1:24. And now they have to actually listen to what's being told to them by the government. And in scripture, there is actually scripture that says, submit yourself to authorities in as much as you do not disobey God. So if, even before that scripture is written, and it falls back into some Old Testament as well, where it's God first, but then where you're living, you submit to authority as long as it doesn't go against God. And here we have a situation where there's a decree gone out that everyone in the world should be counted. And it's Joseph's job to take his wife back to the city of his birth. And he's agreed to go on with the marriage of Mary, carry through. And Caesar Augustus wants everyone to be registered in their own town. And so for Joseph, he is of the city of David, which is Bethlehem. And as we saw in the Old Testament prophecies, they talked about the Savior, the Messiah, would come through the city of David. And here we are, through the lineages that you see in the Old Testament, you've got Jesus Christ coming. So how do they get there? We've all heard a lot of different stories about, you know, how they got there. Did they go on a donkey? Did they walk? How long did it take? So I've done some research for us, and some of it is tied directly to scripture. Other is tied to actual accounts from non-scripture, things that are considered non-scriptural, which were written maybe in the first or second century, but not included in the Bible and not included as scripture. And then there's a bit of information we've got actually from empirical events as well. So let's think about it. Joseph and Mary are in Nazareth. And Nazareth is, as the crow flies, direct distance, maybe about 70, 80 miles away in kilometers. What's that? 110 to like 130 kilometers. But back in the day, you know, they had situations where there were hostile areas, and they would have known about them. There was some Samaritan territories that you, as Jews back then, you wouldn't have ventured into. And so they had to find a route there that would have taken them to Bethlehem. So you've got to understand that Mary isn't just a little pregnant at this point. She's ready to give birth. And I think for all you ladies out there who have been ready to give birth, the idea of making a 90 or 100 mile trek, and it isn't just on straight roads. You're talking about through valleys, over small hills, bigger hills, through rocky terrain, pregnant, knowing that any minute you could go into labor would be kind of a daunting situation. So here they are. They have to set out because it's been decreed by the governors of the area and also Caesar Augustus. They have to make this trip to be registered. And they're heading there through the Jordan Valley, you know, up into the Judean highlands towards Bethlehem. And so when you think about it, how long would that take? You know, the ancient travelers maybe traveled a little bit faster than we do nowadays. So they probably would have done 15, 20 miles a day. Probably slowed down a fair bit by Mary. So you've got to think it probably took them a whole week to make this trip, depending on the time of year. And no one knows the exact time of year that this happened, but the desert gets cold at night. You know, here I am out in Scottsdale, Arizona, and there's many months of the year where it's blazing hot here, but the nights, some of them get really cold, and you'd still have to make that trek. And think about it. You'd have to carry supplies. You'd have to carry water. You'd have to carry a lot of what you owned because you didn't know how long you were going to be there. So you've got that happening. You know, it actually, if you look at scripture, in Luke 2:1-7, it talks about the journey, the census, and Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. You know, and that's where we get the main of that actual story from. There were, you know, apocryphal writings, and these are Christian writings that expanded on the traditions as people wanted to know more about the birth of Jesus, but they're just not considered authoritative, and so they weren't included in the Bible. There's one in the Gospel of James, which is a second century writing around the birth of Jesus that expands Mary and Joseph and Mary riding on a donkey, which may have been true. It just wasn't included in Luke or Matthew. So there you have the potential that could have been happened. It's a minor detail. It's an open-handed issue, as Pastor Galen would say. And then there is something called the Gospel of the Pseudo-Matthew. And again, it describes Jesus's birth, traditions around it, and, you know, even little details about the Holy Family resting under palm trees and different miraculous events that happened along the journey. But I sit there thinking about it. If I would have asked my wife in the last week of either of our children's pregnancies to, you know, walk with me 100 miles, I probably wouldn't be standing up straight. It's amazing the difference between what people were capable of back then and what they're capable of now. And for those of you out there who are doubting the Bible's accuracy, there are actually historical records from Rome that describe the decrees that went out. And they even talk about the censuses that the Roman Empire put out. And then there's also archaeological evidence to that fact as well. So they went out on a long journey. So you can only imagine trekking through the hills, no food, how they knew the direction. Now, I've been out in parts of the world in my life where you can see the most amazing stars. I remember being in Northern Australia once and looking up, and I'd never seen a sky like this before because I'd been in areas where the light pollution from bigger cities is so much that you don't see the stars. And you can see satellites as clear as day, like you see in a low-flying plane overhead. And so you can imagine back in the day, they were used to reading the sky, looking at where different stars were in different times of the year. And also, there's a potential that Joseph had maybe made that trip before. I'm sure they didn't stay too much in just one town, that the men especially would have done more traveling to get goods, to trade, to maybe do some, you know, work trade, take goods that they'd made. He was a carpenter, so he's probably trading and selling some of his items in different places. And especially seeing that he was from the city of David, maybe a trip back there to see relatives. Again, none of that's in scripture, but you can only imagine if that's where he was from, that's what they would have been doing. And so you have it that, you know, they're making this journey. And, you know, you go back to Luke 2, 1 through 7, which tells the main story. And it says in 5, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Again, something that isn't talked about is, you did a decree go out that also asked people in different cities to be accommodating, and for Mary and Joseph, that they got there at a time when there was no room left. There was no place for them to stay. But, you know, was there a fee to stay there? Could they have afforded to even stay in an inn? Or did they not have any friends? And at that point in time, maybe they didn't have any relatives or friends there, so there really was no other place for them to stay. But it also talks to the humility of God, that Jesus Christ would have been born in a stable, or, you know, some people have talked, it could be like a cave-like structure in rock, but basically where animals gather, where animals keep out of the cold. And so there he would have been born. No midwives around that are talked of, no other help. You know, you even wonder like where they would have got fresh water from, where they would have got the things. And Mary was a young girl. So you're talking about a young girl giving birth in a stable in the cold of night, or in the cold, or in the day. Again, that isn't there, but in that sort of humility, that they decided that that's where they would stay. And maybe they were also guided by the Holy Spirit during this, that this is where the Holy Spirit told them, this is where I want you to go. You know, if you go back to the prophecies, you know, Micah 5:2, where it says, but you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though you are small amongst the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. And that prophecy in Micah, that from old it's God, from ancient times it's God. And here we have the story, the Christmas story of Jesus being born and laid in a manger. The manger would have been straw. It would have been made out of whatever blankets they would have had. It would have been sackcloth. It would have been out of the wind, probably no door on it. It probably would have been a situation where you would have been under the stars. And there you have Christ laying in a manger, the stars overhead, the night sky, Mary recovering, Joseph, like most first-time fathers, probably in awe of what's going on and panicking. But I also think we can assume that the Holy Spirit was there and the angels were there too. And that they were in the presence of the Holy, giving birth to Christ. And what an amazing thought for Mary that she had carried God in the form of man, in the form of Jesus Christ for 9 months and given birth. And I wonder as well, I often wonder thinking if you've been asked by the Holy Spirit, by God to bear God incarnate, you'd have been pounding on that indoor one in the best bed possible to lay the king. And yet you get told there's no room, go away. And there you have it. You end up in the stable with the animals. And I suppose at that point, there came an understanding that this is the humility of God. He is not here yet to lord over us on his throne. He is here to come in humility and to be loved and to love. And with all that Mary had gone through with the visitation that she had prior to birth, with the experience with her cousin Elizabeth, with Joseph's dream, that the two of them would have been absolutely full of faith at this point, that God is with them, God is speaking to them, and that's where they have to go, and that's how they have to do it. Yeah, it's just a really incredible story. That journey would have been amazing. They would have been exhausted when they got there. I can only imagine how they got sustenance, water, things they needed. And then there they end up in a stable. So when you're out there this Christmas and you may go to an event where they do the Christmas story, this gives you a little bit more of a picture of how amazing this would have been at the time and how incredibly well put together and rugged these people would have had to been to have got through that. I think today we're kind of soft in that birth moment, but we still see the same majesty in our children. And the moment that you hold a newborn baby, especially if it's your first, you realize how incredible and big God is, that he can create something so small that you know one day will grow to be something so big, so beautiful, so complex. And you can only pray over that child at that point in time and praise God and ask God for a blessing over that child. So to episode 4, we're going to actually cover those who found him. We're going to do the story of the Magi, of the shepherds, and where that all fits into scripture as well. So until next time, this is the Screwtape Letters podcast, Confronting Evil in Our Time. And this is episode 3, The Journey to Bethlehem, The Decree, The Census, and the birth of Jesus. So until next time, we'll see you again. Merry Christmas.